This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, he scores!
Hello, yes, soy yo, c'est moi, El Blue Liner, Serpoint, with you to intro, segue, what have you, this second part of episode 228, wherein we go into, some free agent stuff that had happened and some stuff that might be happening and what we hope would be happening. So just to introduce that part of it, a little bit of some stuff that happened in between now and this very recording you're listening to now. I just want to say, Sammy Silber just came out with an article that basically said Matvei Michkov did not want to come to the Washington Capitals. So you people out there that are whining about him not being picked up by the Caps, okay, y'all, please stop your crying. Okay, well, maybe don't stop your crying, but if you're going to keep on crying, use the minimum amount of Kleenex if you could, please. You know, the environment is suffering, and we got enough trash as it is. Thank you very little. All right. Well, anyway, without any further dippity-do, we're going to finish up this episode. I'm going to talk about some free agent stuff, and Marcus is going to give basically his take on what to expect, as will I, this 2023-24 season. So let's just get right into it. Oh yeah, by the way, I knew it was Brendan Leipsic, not Brett Leeson. Okay, forgive me for having a senior moment. Sorry. And you can hear my cat in the background. That's my cat BJ, because he knows we're about to talk about Alex DeBrincat. So anyway, onward and upward. Now, just because everybody tends to look at it, try to go for the simplest explanation, Occam's razor and all that. If you were to assign a letter grade to the Caps performance in this draft overall, all of these picks, what would you give the scouting and management performance for this draft?
A solid B+.
B+. Okay. And I would agree. And again, you have to keep in mind that even though this is a deep draft, the majority of these players are probably not going to see for anywhere from 1 to 3 years, depending. Players can always get hurt. There can always be some sort of thing that happens out of the blue. But as far as potential, a lot of these young players have a lot of it. And I think we're going to see some good things out of these guys. I would definitely give them a solid B+ as well, as far as the time they took and who they actually got, and most importantly, the needs now and going forward. That's the card you have to play. That's the thing you have to think of when you're drafting. Who's going to fit in now, as far as your needs, and going forward? You have to think of both of those time tracks, because if you don't, then I think you're lost. Too many general managers don't think that way. They think, who's going to help us now? And then they rush them, like what you said with Samsonov happening. I think they did a great job of when they put it in that mentality. All right, so that wraps off the draft. We've got a few minutes to talk about some potential off-season moves. And like you said, the big name that's being thrown out there is Alex DeBrincat. Now, let me preface this right now. He's a name that might get some tongues wagging, some salivation going. Sorry to be disgusting about it, but he's kind of been on my wish list too, to be honest. But especially since he's beaten the hell out of the Caps by himself every time they've played Ottawa. But here's the reality of the situation. Right now, the cap space that the Washington Capitals have, this is according to Cap Friendly, is $880,000, just over. Okay? That's how much of cap space they have right now. I tell you this much, Alex DeBrincat, he's going to command a salary that is at least five or six times that, maybe more. So,
$9 million.
But
right now, they're looking at, it's looking at right now, his contract is $9.8 million AAV. Oh. The thing about that, though, is it can, it's very possible the Caps can work around that. But the biggest problem right now with DeBrincat is on Ottawa's end. They're trying to sign him and then trade him. So they're trying to do a sign and trade. But here's where Kuznetsov comes in. Kuznetsov's contract can counteract what he's making. And here's the thing. The Caps could bring him over and just sign him for a year deal. Where like I said, next year the cap comes up, the Caps will be – and here's the thing. If they trade Kuznetsov and they get that contract off their books and they get Mantha next year, they'll have money to sign DeBrincat. It's just – but that's a pipe dream. So we don't know if that's going to happen. But the thing is, it seems like the Caps are very interested in DeBrincat, but so are the Islanders. But it looks like the Islanders are pulling back because the Senators don't really – they're trying to do a sign-and-trade, which means if they do a sign-and-trade, they can get more in coming back to them than they going out. Because if they just trade DeBrincat, they really don't have leverage. He needs a contract.
Right. And I don't know. But Brian McClellan is going to have to do some more than a little bit of financial sleight of hand to make this happen. I wouldn't mind seeing DeBrincat in the top six if he's dead set on making that kind of a splash. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Then you can move
that type of a move line. Because I really think DeBrincat is hitting his stride. Now, I saw what he did in Chicago. I saw what he did in Ottawa. And I think he fits very well with the roster that they have right now and perhaps whatever game plan Spencer Carberry has for this team going forward. I just don't see it happening, given the cap room. Like you said, it would have to take something like moving Kuznetsov or moving that amount of contracts or money. And right now, they are at 19 players, 19 roster players. You're not going to survive the season with that. The roster size is 23, if I'm not mistaken. So they've got some work to do.
And that's where the young guys are going to come in, because right now we're at 19, but how many of those players are going to be from Hershey? I mean, don't be surprised if all four of those players are from Hershey.
Yeah.
I mean,
Protus,
Malastein,
McMichael,
and Snively. Right there. There it is. There's your four guys. I mean, but we don't.
LaPierre waiting in the wings.
Well,
LaPierre will not be on the team.
So no, let's close. Let's
maybe late in the season.
Let's close the episode with something of a debate here. So the approach to this season, okay, this is probably the biggest problem I have with a lot of my fellow Caps fans. I think too many Caps fans are starting to think, well, we should go back to seeing about opening the window, which, as we all agreed, was lock, stock, and barrel shut, closed, you know, put some crazy glue on it. It ain't ever opening again. And I think...
Well, I wouldn't say that, but...
That's where it... Well, that's where it is...
I've never seen that.
Well, that's where it is right now, for the foreseeable future.
Right.
That's where I think it is right now.
Okay, absolutely agree.
But there's
a similar position that the Rangers were in, like a couple of years ago. You know, the Rangers were ready for a rebuild, but then they instantly turned it around with a retool. I think we're in that position.
Well,
I don't think we need a full-on rebuild.
And that's what scares me, because they've already managed to botch that. They're already taking steps backwards. Yeah. If not for Shesterkin, I don't think they make the playoffs. I'll be bold and say that. Yeah. If not for his play and maybe Adam Fox and Panarin, and that's maybe stretching it a bit. If Keandre Miller can find a little more consistency in his game, maybe they take that another step towards being elite. But no, they actually went backwards this year. And like you, I caught a lot of crap for saying that, but that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. They went backwards, and I fear the Caps are headed in that direction unless they take the approach of, okay, let's see what we've got. Let's not try to win everything. Let's treat this season like, let's see what we've got. Let's figure out who we are and what type of game we want to play. Adapt to the regular season. It doesn't matter if we make the playoffs, but there's a segment of this fan base, I think, that still thinks, okay, we're going to make the playoffs right now, and we're going to do some damage. And I think that's wrong thinking on a lot of people's part right now. You cannot approach it that way. It's just not realistic.
And I'm going to get a lot of crap for this, but at this point, it's all about Ovi getting past Gretzky. Honestly, like, it's all about Ovi breaking that record. And Ovi doesn't want to admit it.
Nobody wants to admit
it. Nobody wants to admit it, but right now, it's all about Ovi getting that
record. I think you're saying what everybody's thinking, which, I do that a lot, so I respect that. And I agree. Okay, yeah, it is.
A lot of people that are thinking Ovi's going to break the record, and we're going to get to the playoffs. So it's like,
What I would love to see, though, is Ovi breaks the record and we end up going all the way that same year.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be the Hollywood ending everybody's looking for.
Would be a perfect send off for Ovi. Not only does
I would love to see Ovi end his career with a championship, much as Ray Lewis did with the Ravens.
Now it's possible. It is very possible if we do this right. That's in 4 years. That's plenty of time to retool and get younger, get faster, and get better. But the thing is, we have to do it right, and we're on the right path by giving the right coach. But here, I'm a little hesitant with the signing of Pacioretty, because we're taking away a roster spot for one of our younger guys.
Yeah, and that's why. Go ahead.
And that's why I was hoping, like, that's why I'm not. I guarantee we're not getting DeBrincat. He's probably going to go to a team with a lot of cap space. But if we could get DeBrincat, that really actually cancels out the Pacioretty signing, because that moves Pacioretty to the third line, and that puts DeBrincat on the second line. Because right now, Pacioretty is slotted, if he's healthy, on that second line, and that's not what we need. We need speed on the second line. We need the older guys to be on the bottom four, because that's usually how it is. The veterans play bottom four, and your top six are your speedy, your young, your talented guys. And the bottom four, even the top nine, but Pacioretty, when healthy, he has shown to be a 30-plus goal scorer. But that's the thing. He has to be healthy.
When was he last healthy?
In Montreal.
And he won't even be ready to play until, I'm hearing mid-November. So
yeah, that's what I heard.
They're saying, a convenient solution, put him on LTIR for the first month and a half. What good does that do them?
We didn't even sign him much. We signed him for $2 million.
Right.
To
me, that's $2 million you could have thrown at a first-year guy, for an entry level contract or something like that. It's I'm with you. It's a waste. And I have friends who say, but he's a proven goal scorer, blah, blah, blah. We've already got that.
But the thing is, he just needs to stay healthy.
If he's consistently healthy
and he's 34, I'd be fine. I'd be ecstatic. I'd say, all right, we got a good goal scorer. But here's the thing. The last few seasons, the Caps have been able to find players that either been hurt or that have been on down seasons. And then that first year, they signed him to a one-year contract and they explode. Connor Sheary, the first year he came to the Caps, he had a fantastic season.
Mm-hmm.
Who was another player? This year, Sonny Milano, fantastic year. Dylan Strome, fantastic year. So we don't know. That's my biggest, probably my biggest positive towards Brian McClellan's coaching career or not coaching, GM, managing career, is that he finds, he's able to find these players that are a former shell of themselves, but he's able to bring out the best of them in their first year. The problem is, it's when they get that big contract. Connor Sheary got a three-year deal.
I think it was
2 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
Two-year deal. He hasn't played well since. He's been beaten to the puck. This year, he pissed me off more than he should have. He had three breakaways, and I said, it's Connor Sheary. He's not scoring, and he didn't score. So the year before that contract, if he had a breakaway, he was scoring probably 5 out of 6 times. So it's just, we don't know how until it happens. I'm not happy about it, but I'm also not going to judge it until we see. Pacioretty could come out. He could stay healthy the full year, the rest of the season. He could score 30 goals.
And well,
a key contributor.
I just thought of something. How about this for a power play unit? Strom, Backstrom, Ovechkin, Pacioretty, Kuznetsov, 5 forwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that? So 3 setup guys, including 2 that can shoot.
Yeah.
And 2 proven finishers. How about that?
I like it.
And that right now, that is the one upside I can think of. But no, overall, I do not like this signing because I really think it, like you said, it takes a roster spot away from one of the younger guys who deserve a chance. And although, you know, right now, like I said, they're at 19 signed contracts. So we're going to have to see how this plays off. But they've got a few months to work with. And, you know, free agency just opened up. So let's see what happens. But overall, I'm not too wild about the Pacioretty signing. And DeBrincat, while, you know, I mean, that'd be great, but that we're going to have to file that under the nice to have, of setting.
We won't see a big big trade until probably when the cap goes up. I mean, because cap's supposed to go up next year and the year before that, the year after that. So the cap's going to go up probably about eight to nine million in the next 2 seasons. So it's going to go up significantly. And the caps are going to have a lot of players off the book in a few seasons.
So the time to make a splash is not so much this year, but next year.
Next year and the year after that. Yep. And that's why I'm saying that. Well, the dream of maybe Ovi breaks this record and then we go all the way. It's not impossible. I mean, it's 4 years. Ovi has 4 more years left on his contract. 4 more.
Yep.
But would it be even more nice because Ovi he already made it known that he is going back to Russia after his contract ends. But he's going to play 1 more year, but then he's coming back to DC and he's gonna join the Caps. He's going to join the Caps in some way or fashion because this is his home. This is his second home. He lives here.
Yeah,
he lives in DC. This fan base is his fan base. Yeah. I mean,
he wants to do something. You know, like Peter Bondra came back to work in the Capitals organization.
I think he'll be a fucking funny ass broadcaster.
Oh, I think that would be amazing. That would be hysterical. Can you imagine Joe B and Ovi?
Craig Lawson's getting up there in age too.
Joe B's no spring chicken.
Yeah, but I think Joe B's younger than Craig.
That's true. Actually, Joe B's probably closer to my age.
So I mean,
I can see him having his own radio show or something like that. I used to listen to something called the Puck Podcast, and those guys commented a few years ago on most Russians they're not exactly English isn't. Exactly their thing, but they really complimented on Ovechkin and how he's mastered English very, very well.
I mean, have you seen his All-Star? His commercials and his All-Star? The thing he did the All-Star with, I want new car. Just imagine him being a broadcaster. I mean,
I can see him being something like that or an ambassador to the team or something. Something in that capacity.
I think... to be honest, I think Ted Leonsis will probably put him in management. He'll probably be part of the team, like probably scouting and stuff.
So that probably head of European scouting or something head of like European, that.
So that way he doesn't have to always be in DC. That way he can go back to Russia when come and go when he wants. Yeah, he's only 50. Look how much Kirk Laughlin's probably like 10 years older than him.
Yeah, Beninati's 57.
But like I said, the talk on the Edmondson The Emerson pickup, I don't think, yes, he's about 10 years older than him.
Yeah.
I don't think Emerson's going to be our starting defenseman. I think it'll be Alexiev. I think Alexiev has done so much last year, and it pisses me off that Laviolette was refusing to play him. I mean, every game he played in, he mm-hmm. looked really good. Yeah. He looked good. He wasn't scoring, and that's okay. You don't need to score if you're a defenseman. Your main job is to defend the ice on your zone.
Yep.
He looked really good. And here's what really me. We were at the Sabres game against Buffalo and Washington. Alexiev was on the ice practicing. And guess what? He didn't play. So how are you going to have a player on the ice practicing during warmups but not have him play? So that's my biggest gripe with Laviolette. But I think, like I told you, we're on the right track with Spencer Carberry. Because he's a younger coach. And he knows these players. Because he coached South Carolina too.
I think so.
He played for them.
He played for them. I don't know if he coached.
I think he was a coach for the Bears. And now my only biggest gripe was he does come from the Maple Leafs, and he learned under Sheldon Keefe. I think Keefe is probably one of the worst coaches in the league because he's such an idiot. There's a reason why Toronto hasn't made it. The Toronto completely got shut down by Florida. Got outcoached by Paul Maurice. So,
but by that same token, you see what not to do. You can also learn what not to do in situations like that. And one of the reasons I'm high on Carberry is he took what on paper is a bunch of elite guys, and sometimes your power play doesn't quite work out when you have all of your best players. He took them and molded them into an elite unit that not only on paper, but in actuality on the ice. And the one guy, so if he can do that, I can't wait to see what he does with what we have in Washington compared to what we've had the last few seasons.
Not only that, his first hiring was a home run.
Mitch Love.
Mitch Love, not only did he win back-to-back years as AHL Coach of the Year, that Calgary team, Stockton Heat, now the Calgary Wranglers, had the best defense and the best goals against back-to-back years. And not only that, we kept Scott Allen. We have to hire one more coach. We have to hire one more assistant coach for the special teams.
Right.
Because Allen, I think Allen's playing, he's doing the forwards. He's doing the forwards, and then Mitch Love is worrying about the defense. Because that's the three assistant coaches. The one coach worries about the lines, which that's Scott Allen.
Yep.
Defense is Mitch Love.
Yep.
And then there's the assistant coach who does the special teams. We have yet to hire one yet, and I don't know who they're going to go for. That we'll see. That'll be my judgment. We'll hold off that. But his first hire was a home run. Mitch Love, a lot of people were talking about he was going to be the next Calgary Flames head coach, and we snagged him. And he talked. He made a statement recently. He's excited. He can't wait to come here. And I'm hearing the players are very excited to work with him. Ovi being one of them. So we're ready. Like,
you know, if Ovi's excited about working with a coach.
And here's the thing. If Spencer doesn't work out, we have two other coaches on that bench we can hire, you know, and next, like the couple of seasons, this year, if we do bad, he's not going to get fired. Next year, if we do bad, he may not get fired. He might be in the hot seat, but in the next three, the year after that, when we're expected to be a good team again.
Yeah.
And if we're still not good, he gets fired. Hopefully Mitch Love's still on the team. We can just promote Mitch Love as the next head coach. So that's a win-win situation there. That's why I'm excited for the Mitch Love hiring, because he could be the next Caps coach if Spencer doesn't work out.
Right.
And that's saying, well, that's a home run right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's why the scheduling track that I mentioned is so important. They have to approach this season not really like it's a throwaway, but like it's a season-long evaluation, not we have to make the playoffs now. And if management has that viewpoint, I think it's all going to go south very fast. So hopefully, you know, they have the right perspective on that for this season, because if they don't, it's all going to go to hell, because I think they're going to, you know, they're going to rush the younger guys. They're going to expect too much out of the older guys and the new coaching staff. And you cannot do that. No, I think that's very important.
I have a question for you.
And for the listeners out there, you know, wherever you are, state of Maryland, District of Columbia, Commonwealth of Virginia, I don't care. That's something to keep in mind. This season is going to be frustrating at times. There's going to be a lot of losses. There's going to be a lot of games where they lose 3-0 and things like that. There's not going to be this anymore winning 6-0 like there was in the old Rock the Red area. That's gone. That's by the wayside. That's not happening anymore. This is an all new team. So I think it's important for everybody out there to keep all of that in perspective.
Now, I got a question for you, Gil. Now, do you think Brian McClellan is on the hot seat? I mean, do you think – I honestly, in my opinion, I think this all falls on him. And honestly, if it was up to me, I think he needs to go. I think we need a brand new GM. I think we need someone that – because Brian McClellan, in my opinion, he came out and said we're going to get younger. And then he goes out and gets two older guys.
And I get that. And I hate him for that, too. I will answer it this way. He's got a mandate, I think, for this season. If he makes the right moves and the Caps show decent, not great, not good, but decent in the standings, like you said, not end up with a top 10 draft pick, maybe miss the playoffs, challenge for the playoff spots, and miss it barely, I think that buys him some time. On the other hand, if the Caps finish, say, anywhere from worst to fifth or sixth worst in the league, I think he's definitely gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing, him and Ted are so close, so we really can't tell. I mean, Ted might say, well, he's chalking up as well, it's starting to rebuild. I mean, but Ted also came out and said that he will do what's best for Ovi, and Ovi wants to continue. He says as long as Ovi's here, they will compete. And that Ted, don't get me wrong, I think Ted's a fantastic owner, but that's where it comes to the point where a GM needs to put his foot down and say, listen, all right, contention is over. We're going to rebuild. We're going to retool. And it's going to suck. The next couple of 3 years are going to suck. There's a light at the end. When we get to that tunnel, we get to the end of that tunnel, it's going to be all sunshines and rainbows, okay? But you need to trust me and do what I do. But here's the thing. I just don't think BM has that ability. I think he's just a yes man. And don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to – BM has been a fantastic GM. What he did for us to get TJ Oshie and Barry Trotz, bringing in Barry Trotz and bringing the only Stanley Cup the Caps
have. Let me correct you on that one, the Barry Trotz one. The Oshie trade was great, but he didn't bring in Barry Trotz. Upper management brought in Barry Trotz. They were signed both at the same time by upper management.
So yeah, you're right. Yeah. Thanks for correcting me. But he was also a big reason why he left too. So, I mean,
right.
Yeah, there you go.
So to be fair, I mean, I'm wrong in both ways because he's a big reason why Trotz left, but, and Ted wanted to work with Trotz, and BM was just, it was very difficult. I mean,
I think ultimately that's what doomed that. Okay, so we've gone on quite a bit long, but I think it's packed with a lot of very good information, good things to chew on mentally if you're a Caps fan. So I think I'm going to end it with this. Again, it's going to be a matter of perspective. And like you said, Marcus, a retool, rebuild, whatever you want to call it, has long been in the offing. This is what happens when you don't rip the Band-Aid off and try to get it done all in 1 year. If you try to do it piecemeal, this is what you get. You get a team that creates a lot of mixed feelings and everybody thinks should contend for a playoff spot, but ultimately doesn't get one. So
this team is not going to make the playoffs. If they make it, you're right, by the skin of their teeth. Next couple of years.
Punching bag.
Yeah, punching bag.
Right. And another first. Right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
This fan base has been so spoiled. It's going to be really interesting to see.
I mean, with Ovi, since we drafted, we've only missed the playoffs 4 times.
Yeah. It's going to be really interesting to see how the fan base reacts the next few years.
Well no,
it's not going to be very pretty.
We'll know who the knowledgeable fans are and the real and true fans are by who sticks around.
Not gonna try to be you know, I don't say big dick confidence, but I mean, I'll be here.
Yeah, I'll be around.
I'll be around.
We're talking about getting a partial plan this year for tickets.
There you go.
Yeah, so I mean, I honestly like, and I understand. Like I said, I've only been a Caps fan but I'm only 25. So I mean, I've only been a hockey fan for 25 years of my life. That's all my life, but it's only been 25 years. You guys are older than me. You're more, you know, you have the thing is, I'm more brighter in areas where you guys aren't, and that's understandable. I mean, you guys are old school. I mean, back in the day, the older drafts, the analytics were they're not as deep as they are now. Analytics are taking over for every sport. It's not just hockey. It's not just baseball. It's football. It's lacrosse. It's soccer. It's basketball. Analytics are, and it's because the way technology is. But, and you're hitting on the ball. We're gonna find out who are the real Cap fans are, and don't be shocked. I mean, don't be shocked if you see a lot of the arena being very empty. I mean, there's going to be fans that come out. When Ovi gets close to Gretzky's record, I guarantee we'll sell out. But before that, I just don't think we're going to have many fans. Like, and here's the thing. That's okay. I mean, look at Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they couldn't even sell tickets. They had to give them away. And then when the game we went to against the Sabres, it was packed. It was packed. Fans were excited. So, I mean, if we go that route where the Sabres are going, they've gone the last 2 years.
We'll get there.
We're good hands. And I think we are. Because, like, we got the right coach.
I think we're starting to get the right players.
We get the right players. And it's all going to fall on who we sign next as our next assistant coach. Who is going to be the last piece of that coaching staff? I'm not happy that we brought back Scott Murray, though.
Yeah, no.
He sucks. But we'll see. So that's a good way to end it on here, though. But
yeah, no, it's so right. So my one plea to my fellow listeners and Caps fans is keep all of that in perspective. This is going to take some time. Just because there are some younger, faster, and in some cases better players in the lineup right now, and plus some reliable veterans, which is ideally what you should have all along, it's going to take some time. And there's going to be times where this team looks bad because they're going to basically end up spending the year figuring it out. Sometimes it takes a season. Sometimes it takes two seasons. And you cited a good example, the Buffalo Sabres. They're on a great trajectory right now. If you want another example, probably the Colorado Avalanche, when they first hired Jared Bednar, when they hired him to replace Patrick Waugh in that emergency signing, when he walked, everybody in the hockey world was like, who the hell is this guy?
Not me.
Well, okay, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people are like, who the hell is this guy and what can he do? And he proved a lot of people wrong.
Well, to be fair, if you look at Bednar's stats, I mean, the year before the Avs signed him as their next bench boss, he won the Calder Cup. He won the only Calder Cup for the Monsters. He took that team, and they beat the Bears that year. That was the year they beat the Bears. They beat Hershey that year, and they swept them. It wasn't even close. So, and I said day one, I said, this, you think Mike Sullivan was a hell of a coach? Jared Bednar is going to be a hell of a coach. And it took a while. And like I said, the Avs are my second favorite team because my favorite player is Gabriel Landeskog. So much that I named him after my cat. But yes, Jared Bednar is a very good example. And Colorado is another good example because they went from Patrick Waugh to barely making the playoffs to the worst team in franchise history. 48 points, which is probably won't be touched again. I mean, don't get me wrong, that wasn't the worst ever team. I mean, the worst ever team belongs in DC, but we digress. We're not going to talk about that. only 8 wins, but we're not going to talk about that.
No.
But yeah, Colorado, I mean, they've gone through a lot, and I mean, they still have enough to win another cup. It just, well, time will tell. The Caps are, they're step one. This is only step one to a 10-step plan. It's going to be bumpy until probably step 7 or 8.
Yep.
So if to tell right now, my opinion to these Caps fans, if you're loyal, buckle up. If you're not, there's the door. Bye.
See ya.
So, right. I mean, it's going to be bumpy. So get ready.
Yeah, it's there's going to be, like I said, there's going to be a lot of games that are unbearable, but there's going to be also a lot of games where you learn a lot about what this team can do. You're going to see their true potential.
I think it's going to be a fun season overall. I mean, I don't think, yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. It's going to be frustrating, but it's going to, I think it's, there's still going to be a lot of fun on this team this year.
Now, Gil, I have a question, another question for you. Ovi, over or under 40 goals?
I would love to see him get another 40 goal season. I don't see it happening, but he's definitely going to strike high 30s.
I was telling her, I said, if he scores 40 this year, 40 next year, he'll beat the record. Because he's at,
oh,
he's
for
at,
sure. For sure.
822. For sure.
He's at 822. So if he scores 40 this year, that's 862. Scores 40 next year, that's 900.
902.
Yeah. If he's driven enough, he can get it. It's within the realm of possibility, but I, you know, realistically, it's going to be, he's going to hit high 30s, I think, is more realistic.
I realistically, in my opinion, I think he's going to, I think not only will he beat the record, I think he's going to shatter it. I, because he's just, he doesn't seem like he's slowing down. Even this year, he didn't slow down. I mean, he got hurt. He still scored goals. It's like he's 30, what is he, 37? He's still putting
up. He's turning 38 come September.
Yeah, he's putting up 40 goals at a 37-year-old. Like, that's unheard of. I mean, once he retires, there won't be another player like him ever again. And I don't see another player reaching 800. Mm-hmm. I honestly
no,
once he,
not and at not this the point, way. Go ahead.
At this point, it's not where if he's going to do it. It's when he's going to do it. It's not if he's going to beat Gretzky. It's when he'll beat Gretzky. Is it in 2 years or is it in 3 years? In my opinion, the way he's played and the fact that he continues to score goals, I wouldn't be shocked by the end of next year, the two seasons, he beats the record. So it just, that's how he is. He scores goals. And the thing is, he's not just scoring goals on the power play. He's finding other ways to score now. And that's why it's so different. And that's why he's been able to keep up the pace. I mean, if it wasn't for his injury, he probably scores 50 goals last year.
There's in theory, if he can score 44 goals, 44 and a half goals over the next 4 years, in theory, he could score 1,000 goals before he ends his career.
Yeah. And if he hits 1,000 goals, no one's ever touching that. Yeah. I'm telling you.
In theory. In theory, right.
Exactly. You gotta qualify that. So within the realm of possibility, yes, I'm going to temper my expectations.
Within the realm of probability, no.
I would be more than satisfied if he, by the end of his current contract, he breaks the record, by at least 10 to 15 goals. I will be more than satisfied with that.
How many teams are going to play him harder now because they know he's closer to the record?
And that wouldn't surprise me either. And that's, yeah. You know. But
how are they going to allow him to score to break the record?
Right.
So a lot
and
of teams
I don't
to want him to break it.
And that may be to their detriment because that's going to allow some of these other guys, you know, a chance at the net that they, you know, if they tailor their strategy that way, I mean, you know, fine.
That's fine by me. Passed Gordie Howe. I mean, Ovi didn't want to score the empty net. He passed it Kuznetsov, and Kuznetsov like, I don't think so. He passed it back.
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean.
And then Ovi's like, fine, fuck it. Flings it towards the net, and it goes in.
Gotta love it.
All I know is that I'm probably going to be at the game where he beats Gretzky's record.
That's our plan.
No, I mean, it's probably inevitable right now because I was there when he passed Jágr, and I was there when he passed Howe. I mean, at this point, the hockey gods are working towards my favor. And like
both at those games.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, he'll probably be like, yo, we'll wait until Marcus goes to the game for him to beat the record. So.
And I told him, I said, he's waiting until you come down to D.C. in December. I told him he was waiting.
So, but yeah, like you said.
Actually.
So overall, it's going to be a bumpy way. I'm going to thank you for allowing me to come on this podcast. If you ever want me to come on again, I'll gladly come on. Like I said, Gil, I think we would love to have you on the first episode, which we'll be doing in September.
Yeah. Probably right before preseason.
Probably during preseason. Okay. Probably after the first game of preseason to see how the prospects do. Okay. I will let you know.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely be having you on again, because I think there's going to need to be something of an evaluation, whether it's mid-season or maybe later, maybe at the All-Star break, maybe at the three-quarter poll, maybe at the trade deadline. But we're definitely going to need to have you back on for something of an evaluation of this team, because I think depending on where they are in the standings, it definitely merits some explanation and where they're headed versus where they are. Because like you said, I think a lot of fans are going to give up on this team, and, you know, we might sound like we're smoking the hopium and just selling that. But realistically, this is just the first step towards this team becoming even better than it was during their original cup run. 5 years ago.
I said first step of a 10-step plan. It's going to be bumpy for the next 6 or 7 steps.
Strap in, people.
Strap in. Right. Get your helmet on. Get ready to go. Let's go. Vroom, vroom.
All right. So, Marcus, thank you so much for being on. I think you've provided a lot of great information, perspective for our loyal listeners to chew on, like I said, mentally for this year. Because I think it's very important to keep that in the back of your mind as you're watching these games. So I think some of the fans out there may lose sight of that because they're just looking at the highlights and scoreboards. You got to look at more than that. And that's kind of why we're here, to provide some of that. So I hope in some small way we've done that service for you Caps fans. Stay tuned to us. Long-term plan is I'm thinking about doing some sort of evaluation maybe next week or soon of the free agency activity for this year and so far. Not really sure. Nothing concrete yet. Announcement to be made later. Cheryl Ann, thanks as always for coming on and just being you and doing what you do. So thanks again for keeping us level-headed here. And look, ultimately, Caps fans, it comes down to watch the game, and you'll get more out of it by seeing how the team as a whole develops, watching the players, seeing the strategy play out. Yes, the results at sometimes may be disappointing, but again, got to keep things in perspective. I think if we all do that, it'll make this first year, which is going to be kind of bumpy, as we said, a bit more bearable. All right, so we're going to stop it here. And thanks again to C4 and Marcus. Thank you both. You're both awesome. And hope to be on the your podcast later on in the year. So we're going to this is the Blue Liner on Point, closing it out for the free agent coverage and reminding you.
Don't laugh, Marcus.
That I recently arranged for my grandmother to have a stair lift built because she was having trouble getting up and down stairs in her house. Well, turns out she can't stand it. She hates it because she says it drives her up the wall.
Oh boy.
Stone like Braden Holtby on a breakaway. I love it.
That is so cringe.
I don't.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Oh my God. That is so cringe.
Every week.
That is the ultimate. That is not even a dad joke at that point. It just evolved to a granddad joke.
Oh.
Good one. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.